We are excited to know where we're going to be playing and excited to have a city that is excited about having us.
Once you're a Raider, you're always a Raider, no matter what city.
We are now the Las Vegas Raiders.
I guess when you talk about making a statement nationally, obviously we did, but I think where we have to start working is locally on the answers. This is a very emotionally charged time. I think coupled with the coronavirus right now, we're sitting on a tinderbox anyway, with people being pretty much in their homes for the last 2.5 months, children not being able to go to school. And I think it's been mentally draining on people. And then for something like this to happen, it's a pretty tough time right now.
What's up, everyone? It's time for another edition of the Vegas Nation podcast brought to you by Favor, drinkafavor.com. This is your home for Raiders, fast takes, and smart coverage every day. Subscribe wherever you are listening and follow along on social media at Vegas Nation. Download the Vegas Nation app and check out vegasnation.com for all of the great content that we put out there, from videos to articles to columns and everything else. It's Heidi Fang here, and I'm joined with our Review Journal sports columnist, Ed Greeny, as well as our NFL writer Adam Hill. And you can also see all of us weekly with Vegas Nation Blitz that airs on Cox Earview Channel 14 Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Check your local listings. Guys, this is a time here that we are heading into that is unprecedented, where it's come the time where people say don't mix sports and politics, that we have to mix sports and politics. And everyone says they shouldn't intertwine, and normally they don't. But right now, as I said, we're in unprecedented times, from the virus to protests. 2020 has really tested the mettle, the hearts of a lot of people. And it's times right now where we're questioning everything around us. And it's forcing the debate of how these athletes need to step up, who they need to be, what they need to say. Everybody wants to see a positive outcome from everything that's happened with George Floyd being killed, and everybody's asking for answers. And a lot of people are looking for someone to be that voice, someone to lead them through it, and just to help others be heard and to express themselves on platforms. And so a lot of athletes right now are being put in the position of being asked what they should do and what they would do. And that brings us to what we're here to talk about today. A lot of statements being made. Drew Brees has come forward and made statements. Ed, you had Mark Davis on the press box this week on ESPN Radio. We heard him right here in the beginning of the show talking about what he thought about what's happening and how to best handle things. And you know, from his angle of now being in a new city here in Las Vegas, and I want to start with this first, with Mark Davis on the press box this week, ESPN Radio 1100 here, and 100.9 on the FM dial. You know, when you spoke with Mark Davis, what was the feeling that you got from him, the sentiment you got from him about the protests and everything happening right now?
Well, I mean, he was very upset about it. I thought there's a lot of statements out there that are very straightforward. I'm not going to judge, just like I don't judge how people grieve. I certainly don't judge statements, but I take more credence, and I'm more interested in statements that are personal and have a feeling to it. And his did, talking about what happened in Minneapolis, talking about standing beside his players instead of behind them, talking about it affecting the world, not just one city. And I thought his statement was really good. It's probably one of the best, if not the best, I've read. And again, this is a guy who changed over time from the last, from a couple of years ago. I was in Washington. You were in Washington when the Raiders played there. That was a time where he preferred they didn't kneel, and he's done a 180. Good for him. It means he's evolved with the situation in terms of kneeling and why people kneel. And that message has been completely lost, which is amazing that people still don't understand why Colin Kaepernick kneeled and why people followed him. But yeah, I thought Mark Davis really put it in a kind of a thoughtful, compelling way. And it's kind of what he intimated on the press box, that that's the kind of message he wanted to put out there, and he didn't want to just put kind of a standard statement out.
Well, Ed, we do have that comment and the quote from Mark Davis right here. So let's hear from Mark Davis what he had to say about his thought in 2017 and how that has changed.
Well, throughout my youth being around the Raiders and football, I never really saw color. Every year there were new players on the roster, players from the South, some from the deep South, others from the North, all over the country. I got to see and hear different points of view, all coming together for a common cause, and that was to be a Raider. And back in the day, my father had black and white teammates rooming together in training camp on the road. And it just was never an issue in being the Raiders. So I sympathize with the players. And when they have something to say, I've always said to them that I'll be there with them, by their side. Initially, last year, now it's not last year, but it was back in 17 when the kneeling for the national anthem issue was up. I initially told the players that I'd prefer that they wouldn't speak out against things while they were in Raider uniforms. And I felt that being a Raider was that just that. And that if they had something to say and they took off their uniform, they could say something. But certain things happen and in society and in real life. And it made me change my opinion on that. And I felt, well, I think if the players can make a difference and if they can say something that will bring more discussion around an issue, then it was their right to go ahead and do it.
That was Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders. Adam, what do you think right now has been the biggest message that has been put forward out there? I mean, as we talk about Mark Davis, as we talk about what Derek Carr has put out, and even messages like what Drew Brees has said has really kind of shook a lot of people, though he just recently tried to retract what he said and make better of his statement about people shouldn't kneel for the flag. What has been your take on all of this?
Well, I think first of all, the biggest thing is to go back to what you said at the beginning and keeping sports and politics separate. And you hear that from so many people, and it's just such a ridiculous statement. It's so nonsensical. Sports is politics. Politics is sports. Everything is intertwined. Nothing is separate. And I made a comment on Twitter today, and I'll reiterate it here because it's something I've said maybe 1,000 times the last 5 years. Anybody that ever says stick to sports, they don't mean it. They mean stick to sports and politics that I agree with. That's what that statement means. Nobody ever gets mad when an athlete makes a political statement they agree with, right? I mean, that's like the most obvious thing ever. Nobody ever actually means stick to sports. So that's the first thing. And I think you're seeing it now is that everything that goes on in the world impacts the sports world. Like they're intertwined. They're just regular people. Sometimes you get to hear their opinions, and sometimes like real life bleeds into the locker room, like in an obvious way. And sometimes it's not as obvious, but in this case, I think it's important, especially in the NFL, where players were so vilified for making the exact same statements that now everybody is starting to kind of come around and agree with, but they were making it years ago and were just vilified for it and attacked for it. So I don't think it's important that everybody agrees with each other, but I do think it's important that everybody understands, like Mark Davis said, that they were wrong. Everybody that went after the players that were kneeling were wrong. They changed what the statement was. They changed what it was about. They tried to corrupt that message. And I think finally now people are like, oh, this is something that's very important to these guys. This is something that they care about. And when you say that they were protesting the flag, like Drew Brees tried to do, or protesting the troops, like a lot of people tried to do, that was just to avoid what the actual topic was. And it's an uncomfortable conversation that I think needs to be had. And a lot of players are expressing that. And I don't think people should be attacked for not making a statement or for making a statement you don't like. But when you do what Drew Brees did and make a statement kind of giving people ammo to attack these players and say that they were disrespecting the flag, that is just not acceptable. It's not that his opinion isn't acceptable. It's that you're corrupting the message once again. From these guys, and he didn't talk to these guys. He didn't learn anything in all this time. And then again, in his statement today, as we're taping this on Wednesday, or excuse me, on Thursday, he didn't address that it's not about the flag. That's the important part. He agreed to, hey, listen, I need to open my eyes. I need to have these conversations, all those things. And he said a lot of the right things, but once again, did not say that those protests were not about the flag, which that's the most important thing to say.
Well, and real quick here, I mean, look, there's two type of people really that are involved here. One, you're so staunch in your agreement or in your opinion, like Adam said, you're going to not identify what the protests were for. You're never going to change those people's minds. So they're going to use it as an excuse to go after these people protested for the reasons they did. Or two, you just haven't been paying attention. But the fact that Drew Brees, so many years later, still doesn't recognize why Colin Kaepernick and other players took a knee and what they were really protesting is inexcusable in his position. Now, the guy sitting at the top of Allegiant Stadium next year and who kind of follows the league in a curious manner, okay, I don't know if I'm going to fully buy it, but if he tells people, I don't, you know, I think they're going against the flag, all right, whatever, he's a fan. But Drew Brees, of all people, should have understood and probably knew exactly what they were protesting for, and he still comes out with a statement. And Adam's right. Have all opinions you want. We know about the Constitution. We know about the amendment. You can say whatever you want. But he just, to me, came off not only horrible timing, given what's happened in the world the last week, but just came off as either really confident or really ignorant. And I'm going to go with the former because I don't think he's an ignorant guy.
Well, somebody who has come forward that I think would mean a lot here on this podcast, the Vegas Nation podcast, was what Derek Carr had to say. I mean, he said he wants the fighting to stop. He says, I want to help people in need. I want to see people stop striving for power in politics and actually do what they say they were going to do. I want to see prayer back in schools. I want to see team sports be a place where all different walks of life come together for a common goal in their communities. I want to see children raised up loving everyone and not counting them out before they actually know them. That's what I want to see. So he's preaching this message of love, of unity, and that's great. But how does this translate to everybody in, you know, a real life thing? And something that I heard, Adam, on your show that you do on ESPN as well, was Mike Pritchard. He came on, he's a former NFL player, he's played with various teams, and he said the best thing that people can do, you know, all these athletes are being asked to put their voice forward, to make an example, to say something positive, to be on a platform and use their popularity to do some good. And he said the best thing that everyone can do is to register to vote. And I thought that made so much sense. Like, if you want something to change, it has to start with calling your local politicians, with calling the senators, with calling the councilmen and women that help to put these things in order. So I don't know if Adam, if you had anything you wanted to elaborate on what Pritchard said there.
No, I think you're right. And I think it's really important to tie this back into the Raiders in that Mark Davis had his statement, which again, I thought was great. And to just say, you know, beyond anything else, beyond all the good things he said, listen, I was wrong in 2016 and 2017 to not allow my players to express themselves and to, you know, come to that realization. I think that was big. And we saw Derek Carr, who took some real criticism at that time in 2016 and 2017, you know, kind of make a lengthy statement as well and just say that, you know, he doesn't think that stick to sports is the right thing. He said he's kind of realized that he's been taught for so long that, you know, you should stay out of controversial issues, that he was just so focused on that and not, you know, rocking the boat. And if you say something, you're going to alienate half the people. And he just said, it's too important. That time is gone. You should not stick to sports. And I thought that was a pretty powerful comment and a pretty powerful realization on Derek Carr's part, who we know, we've been around Derek Carr for a couple of years now. And he is very, very, very careful about every single word that he says. Every word that he says is you know, formulated in his mind and thought about and almost to the point of being rehearsed in his mind before he says it, because he doesn't want to alienate people. And he said that's not the way to live. That's not the way to create change and to create betterment in the world. You need to speak out. You need to express opinions. You need to tell people when things are wrong. And I thought that was a pretty strong statement as well, to just say, like, I'm not going to stick to sports anymore. I'm not going to be told that my opinions shouldn't be expressed, and if things are wrong, you need to point them out.
I'm gonna add four varies to that, in terms of how many varies should be with what Carr said. One of the better things that came out of Colin Kaepernick was, since that time, athletes are far more willing to use their platforms in an activist way. For very, very long, you know, a long, long time ago, you had the Ali's, the Foremans, people like that, Althea Gibson, who had no problem, the Lew Alcindors, even with the backlash. Then you had a lot of decades as their platforms grew and they made more money where they said, is this worth it? The whole Jordan and the Republicans and sneakers. But now, since Kaepernick did this, I think a lot more men and women in sports are willing to give opinions. Now, look, you don't have to agree with all of them, and I'm sure a lot of people don't, but I do think it's important when you have huge platforms like this to be the ones to make statements and be activists. And I think it's a good thing. I think activism among athletes has certainly grown since Kaepernick. There's no question about that. And I'm glad people like Carr and others, we were seeing hockey players forever. Hockey players never said anything about this stuff. They had a commissioner who said, be apolitical. Now you're seeing hockey players fed up with it and saying, no, I'm not going to kick it upstairs for the GM to talk. I'm going to say my own things, my own beliefs. So as bad as what happened in Minneapolis and all these situations with police brutality and social injustice, you know, to a sports angle and the stick to sports thing is a completely ignorant view anyway. I'm glad it has caused athletes to have their own opinions, whether you agree with them or not.
And the Raiders, as we were talking about earlier, too, they've always been kind of a very progressive organization. When you look back at the history of Al Davis, when you look back at Art Shell being one of the few African-American coaches and the first in the modern era, if you will, that was really hired and put in that position, though way back in the NFL, there was another man that was the first African-American coach. But the Raiders have always been a very diverse organization, and I'm glad to see that their athletes are coming forward and the owners coming forward talking about what is happening in the world. So on that note, let's go ahead and take our quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Henry Ruggs's injury. We're going to hear from Maurice Hurst Jr. We're also going to get into what is happening with training camp with the Raiders. So stay tuned right here on the Vegas Nation podcast.
They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are all just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First-time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com.
Welcome back to the Vegas Nation podcast. It's Heidi Fang here with our Review Journal sports columnist Ed Greeny and our NFL writer Adam Hill. We have been talking a lot about sports and politics, but as we get here into the second half of the show, I think we need to break down a little bit about what's going to happen here in Las Vegas as the Raiders prepare to move. It was deemed by the NFL earlier in the week that from here on out for this season, the teams will need to host their training camps where they have their headquarters, and the Raiders had just moved June 1st to their Henderson headquarters, meaning training camp will now take place there. I wanted to talk about how logistically this is going to work out in probably the end of July here in the 100-degree plus heat that we have in Las Vegas, with 1.5 fields, as far as I understand it, being indoors and the others being out. We know that the Raiders, from being at Napa, use all of the field space that's available to them where they've practiced in the past. So, Ed, as you see it, how is this going to work out from a logistics standpoint?
Well, first of all, as I said earlier this week, I'm depressed. We're not going back to Napa, where somehow the three of us and Michael Gelkin found the only place without wireless in town.
That was or phones nice. Or TV.
I don't think we had a television either. Props to Gelkin for that. But look, if it's ready, it's fine. I mean, it seems that most of it's ready. They have the fields there. They have an indoor facility, which I think Gruden's going to learn very quickly. It got a little toasty in Napa, but nothing like they're going to see in July and August. They'll go indoors, I assume, for most of it. As long as their weight room and training room and everything else is set up, they'll be fine, I would assume. Adam knows the area more than me. I'd assume they're going to be in a hotel during training camp. I would throw out that the closest hotel is the M. Maybe you'll see them congregate there because they definitely are going to be together during training camp. I don't know. I mean, I think more, and Adam, I mean, I don't know if they ever go back to Napa. Napa's great because of the Marriott and everything, but if it works out this year with the indoor facility, they might just stay here for the future.
Don't give them that idea, Ed. Like, you're trying to take away our Napa trip?
The wife is very unhappy. There's no Cabernet on her plate after this.
Yeah, exactly.
At least it's Cabernet. If it were Merlot, we're leaving.
Oh, no Merlot.
Yeah, so, I think you're right. I think when they see how it works out here, it's going to be tough to go back there. I do think, you know, it was a very cool thing to try to stay there because the setup was good. And also, it was just a really cool thing for the community up there. Napa embraced the Raiders certainly every year, and it was a nice little easy trip for the fans in Oakland to come up and East Bay to come up and to check out the team and be a part of training camp. And there's, you know, their fans there every day and how excited they are to see it. And it was a nice kind of tie when you know, the team leaves, but they still get that, like, that tie of having them come back every year. So I think that was a really good concept and a good plan. But I think once they see how well it works out here, especially with an indoor facility and several outdoor fields, even though it's hot, they'll be able to go in the morning. And I think it'll just work out better logistically and be cheaper. And I think they do end up staying here for you know, going forward.
If they don't go with the hotels, though, my concern is how does this team camaraderie kind of build? Because normally, as we've seen at their previous location in Napa, they've got that whole Marriott. Their guys are out there to, you know, rooming together. They're bonding. They're learning on the field. They're together all day on these 2 days and what have you. So if they don't have that and they're going from their home and driving, obviously, like I said in the beginning of the show, this is unprecedented times. We don't know how things are going to work and how distancing might happen with the virus and how testing is going to work. Out for all of these players, how things are going to move forward. But I mean, do you think that the camaraderie of the team building throughout this time will take a hit at all, Ed?
No, I mean, I'll be floored and shocked if they're not in a hotel together for camp. That's how mostly all teams do it, whether they're, you know, on site or elsewhere, because you have a lot of guys who aren't going to make the team. And when it comes to COVID, I mean, you'd want them all in the same place getting tested every day. I don't know if you want to let guys go. You don't know who they're going to be around. They're around Vegas, you know, slip into a casino, whatever they're going to do or what they might do. You need them in a hotel. I'll be shocked, Adam, if they're not in a hotel. I mean, you know, for camp, once you break camp, everyone goes home into their houses. But it would floor me if they're not in a hotel. That would go against every training camp for the last however many years, that you don't have your guys for meetings, for meals, for everything when it comes to a training camp together.
Yeah, and you know, I know you mentioned the M. I think Vinny on the last podcast mentioned the M. I don't know if you want to be in a casino necessarily. I know there's a couple other spots out on St. Rose that are fairly new that I think would work better. I think there's like a residence in there. There's a you know, maybe a DoubleTree right there as well. I don't think the M, as much as I love it and it's a great spot, I don't think necessarily you'd want to be on a casino property, just because, you know, you want to have meetings and you want to have the guys around and focused. And if you have, you know, a casino floor and shows and concerts and stuff that go on at the M, I don't know that works out necessarily well. But I do think they'd be in a hotel and kind of sequestered away, at least for the first couple weeks of camp.
Well, one of the people that were wondering how the injury that got him will play out, and of course, the first draft pick that the Raiders had here in 2020, Henry Ruggs, the speedster, hurt himself moving furniture into a trailer, as I heard or read rather from his father via AL.com. He's got a cut on his leg. Now, while that's not a totally substantial injury, I mean, does anyone here know like the timeline for his return? Have you heard much about it, Adam?
He should be fine. I think the concern was that, you know, it was a puncture, fairly easy to recover. I mean, easy is relative, I suppose, but should not be an impact for him in the offseason. I think the biggest concern was whether it was going to hit an artery, and he did not. So got through that, and I think they're going to be fine with him going forward.
Excellent. Who's the friend who asked this guy to move?
Yeah,
this guy's worth.
Why is he saying yes?
Yes. Come on. You can't ask this kid. You know what this kid's going to sign for? This guy's not the Christmas gift.
It's Keith Hernandez. Keith Hernandez with Seinfeld.
It is Keith Hernandez.
Yeah.
Oh, we're moving when you need him.
Especially to have them do the heavy lifting. If you ask him to help you move, maybe just, you know, hey, can we borrow your truck, or can you like come and move my house plants around? But just getting him to move the heavy stuff and pinning him with his leg, that's just, it's not a good friend there. Unless it's family.
You got to be the friend who in the future is going to ask for a loan. This guy's done now. He has no chance of getting a loan at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if this were family, I can get it. You know, you're kind of obligated. But if it was just a friend, I mean, yeah, I probably would have passed on it. Like, Henry Ruggs must be a really good friend.
Yeah.
So as we keep talking here on the podcast, I wanted to get into this interview that we had with Maurice Hurst Jr., defensive tackle for the Raiders. And Ed, as we know, the Raiders went in the offseason. They made a ton of improvements. They went out after defensive players. They added Malik Collins. They have a new defensive line coach and Rod Marinelli. So when you start to look at who they have right now, Malik Collins, PJ Hall, Jonathan Hankins, where do you think Maurice Hurst fits in? Because he's somebody that we've seen a lot of flashes from. He's somebody that's going into his third year now with the team. How does Maurice Hurst fit into this picture with the Raiders?
I better fit in importantly. You know, I said it before. I actually think, you know, that one of the best things they did entire to offseason was get Rod Marinelli to be the coach of that line. I mean, you know, he's proven really well. I'm going to raise my hand as a Cowboy fan, but you know, I think he'll get a lot out of that line. And you know, there's questions to be answered. We're reading reports that Cleveland Furrell's in a lot better shape, and he's done the off-field work. Can Max Crosby, you know, equal or improve his numbers, given now people know who he is and what he can do? How much has Carl Nassib come in to take jobs? So, yeah, I mean, on paper, and most of it is all on paper, obviously, they have a chance to be better up front. But again, we'll have to see. They haven't been great up front in a long, long time. So, you know, they have the pieces. I would assume, Adam, but I want to see him play a game. I mean, at this point, you know, you can say what you want that they're improved, but nothing until we see him play a game. I don't know how good they will be defensively.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And I think what the biggest thing that they have is they have more depth. They'll be able to rotate more. They'll be able to stay fresher, and I think that will help. But the biggest thing that will help is the fact that the linebacking core is so improved. They'll be able to contribute a lot more, not only in coverage, taking away some of those easy outlet passes. The Raiders have been horrific in short coverage with the linebackers the last couple of years. So that improvement, especially Littleton, who's really good in coverage, will help them get to the quarterback more often, and an improved secondary. You know, I don't know how good they'll be right away, but they've got a lot of young players that are developing, and if they can cover better, that'll help them get sacks.
Yeah, and sacks last year, Mohurst had 3.5. So total in the career right now, it's 7.5. So in the season previously, where they only had 13 sacks, he was responsible for 4 of those. And in this interview with Cassie Soto, Maurice Hurst Jr. talks about how he is pushing himself to improve this season. So let's hear from the defensive tackle now.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, pushing myself, you know, to the limit, you know, every day, just working hard. You know, understand the game more. And I think that's the biggest thing going from, you know, your freshman to your sophomore season and then going to that third year. You just learned so much about the game. And, you know, we got a new D-line coach and Rod Marinelli. And, you know, he's coached some of the great defensive linemen. So, you know, we've been able to watch those guys, like, you know, Warren Sapp and, you know, just some of those players that, you know, just really jump off the screen. And you get to learn from them and watch the progressions from when they were rookies to, you know, where they're making all pros. So,
yeah, you mentioned the addition of Marinelli. How about a guy like Malik Collins? What can you learn from him? Both of those guys having worked together, how are you seeing yourself going to be able to grow under them?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I've always been a huge fan of his and, you know, just what he does on the field. You know, you get a lot of respect for certain players in the league, and he's one of those guys that I really respected the way that he played, the way he played tough. And, you know, when I heard he was coming to our team, I was, you know, really excited to get to work with him. And, you know, he's a workhorse and he's someone that, you know, we're going to be able to push each other to, you know, keep getting better and keep, you know, fighting for that time in the field. And I think it's going to make both of us, you know, just better football players in general.
Well, as far as some of your other teammates go, Derek Carr, Darren Waller, Zay Jones, and Alec Ingold, to name a few, getting some work in here. I think locally in Las Vegas already, they've been thrown at the local parks here. What do you think that says about them, you know, despite that the current situation that we're in, that states obviously are lifting restrictions and they're getting out there, trying to get in as much work as they can despite these virtual times that we're in?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about team building. So, you know, getting those guys together, you know, getting them on the same page, you know, it's everything. And, you know, between the Zooms and, you know, texts and or whatever, FaceTimes, you know, to the guys, you know, it's all just, you know, bringing us a little bit closer. You know, everyone has a little bit more time. I mean, even to some, like, you know, playing Xbox or something, like just getting to, you know, spend time with your teammates and getting to know them and check in on them, see how their families are doing, things like that. I think those are the things that bring you closer as a team.
Well, let's just stick on your teammates here. Mo, I have to ask you, some of your teammates are really taking to heart the once a Raider, always a Raider, and are getting the Raider shield tattooed on different parts of their body. Do you think that they're absolutely nuts, or is this something that you might do once you get here to Las Vegas?
I definitely wouldn't rule it out. You know, the guys is, you know, you love the Raiders. It's just, you know, everything that it embodies and, you know, just, I mean, it's just hard not to. I mean, you love the logo, the shield, and just everything about it. It's just, you know, it's different than anywhere else you go, I feel like.
Oh, just your final thoughts here, Mo. Allegiant Stadium, I think it's about 60 or so days, 70 or so days from being done. I don't know if you've seen pictures of it lately. They got the field tray going. Just what's your overall excitement of getting to work here in Las Vegas, getting to open up Allegiant Stadium?
Oh, it's insane. The stadium looks crazy. Just, you know, really excited just to get in there. Hopefully, you know, God willing, we have fans. I think it's just going to be atmosphere, not like, you know, any other in the NFL. And just really excited to see how the games play out and the lights. And, you know, we have so many primetime games and big games versus, you know, really good teams. And, you know, it's just really exciting, just the energy I feel like the stadium's going to have and the energy of the fans, the energy of the players. I think it's all going to translate well for us.
Again, that was Maurice Hurst, the defensive tackle for the Raiders, heading into his third season with the team. And that was our Cassie Soto, who was able to get that interview with him. So make sure to tune in every week, Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock at Cox Earview Channel 14, where you can see the full interview, Vegas Nation Blitz, and the replays will be available also on VegasNation.com. And that's also where you can find this podcast, along with all the great content that Ed and Adam write, Vinny as well. They put everything up there on a daily basis with fresh content. Check out that app as well by downloading it. Follow along on social media at Vegas Nation, and also make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you're listening. We've got all your fast takes and smart coverage. We'll be back next week with a new episode, so make sure to follow the guys here both on social media at Adam Hill LVRJ and at Ed Greeny on Twitter. I'm at Heidi Fang. So for both of the guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week.